to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hello, I'm Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
Okay, so for all you pet lovers out there, this is the show for you. Today, we're talking with Stephanie Brown, a woman who is able to communicate with our furry loved ones. Stephanie is able to interpret messages from our pets to determine behavioral issues and also provide our pets with healing. So in her sessions, Stephanie helps to convey information from our pets and also teaches us about how to communicate with them, strengthening the bond between human and animal. Stephanie discovered at a young age that she could intuitively tune into people's feelings and help them feel better. After she received a degree in psychology from George Washington University, she returned to Massachusetts, and after some twists and turns, Stephanie was drawn to alternative health and wellness studies. She's a licensed massage therapist and Reiki master and has studied under numerous medical intuitives and shamans. And over the years, Stephanie began to discover her own innate ability to channel healing transmissions from the spirit world and offer energetic gifts during treatments. And today she's able to help animals as well. So Stephanie, we're so excited. Welcome to the show.
Yay. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're very excited to chat with you today. It sounds like you just such an amazing practice that you have.
Pretty unique. Thank you.
Yeah. We can't wait to hear more about it. So let's jump in.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how the ability to work with animals came about. Is this something that you were born with? And is this something that can be learned?
So I was definitely born with it. I always felt much more comfortable around animals than humans. And so most people that are animal communicators, we have a natural ability, but it is something that absolutely can be learned. Everybody has psychic abilities. It's just whether you choose to open it or not. So I had the ability that was kind of already there. And then as I did my psychic development training, the ability to talk to animals came in even more. I had adopted two cats. So I have three cats now, but I had adopted two feral cats. Coming upon 10 years ago, and one of them had a lot of health issues, and he was kind of a mystery to vets the same way I was kind of a mystery to doctors, and just started using my abilities to tap in, and here I am doing sessions for other people's animals.
Wow, that's so cool.
Thank you.
It is. And like Deb mentioned, I think I can't even count how many times over the course of my life where I've thought, oh, I wonder what this animal is thinking, you know, or what are they trying to tell us? And to be able to just do that is fascinating to me.
Carol, which was it, Sonia Choquette, or who was it that said that when things are going on in your experience, that sometimes the ailment will affect the pets first before it affects the person?
Yeah, I think we've heard that from a few people. I know Greg Braden talks about that a lot, but you're right. There was somebody, mm-hmm. I think a few authors that we've followed or people that we've seen speak have talked about that, which I just find so, it's just so awesome that they kind of take that on for us.
Right. And it is something that I've encountered a lot in the years that I've been doing this, that it's actually pretty funny that people would bring their pets to me because they noticed the animal was having anxiety, but it was actually the human that had anxiety that didn't even realize it was anxiety. And ailments, imbalances, it resides in the energy field before it comes into the physical body, whether you're an animal or a human. Animals are just much more sensitive and much more closely tied to the energy world. animals exist in a beautiful state of pure being, whereas, you know, we humans, we're born with it, and then, you know, through life we lose it, but then we come back to it. So it's absolutely very common that our animals will pick up on, you know, energetic imbalances, which can create physical disturbances. When I have been feeling a little bit under the weather, my cat Gus, who I call my soulmate cat, my familiar, he almost always gets the same energy imbalance. And that's the eye-opening thing that's like, okay, Stephanie, you need to change something because Gusselbutt's going to get sick.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I've always noticed that, like, if you're having a bad day or you're down, or even when something traumatic has happened and you're sad, like, they get it. They know.
Yeah.
They do.
You know, and they sort of rally to do whatever they can to help you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. It's pretty amazing how that all works.
I know. It's beautiful. It's magical.
It is. It really is. And I mean, without getting super, super sappy, just that unconditional love, because you just don't get that from anywhere else.
Right. Or it's rare. Yeah.
It's rare, you know, and just the way that they look at you, like you are the most amazing thing in the world to them. And I just, it's just incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pure little nature spirits.
Yes.
And again, because they are so closely tied to the earth and the earth energy, they're so very grounding for us. So, you know, the concept of therapy animals, you know, it's just one of the most natural relationships between us and animals. Like they love us. They are here to help us heal. Many animals are also here to help us open our psychic and healing abilities.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So for our listeners that have never heard of this topic of animal communication, can you sort of define exactly what it is? And what are some of the reasons that someone would seek out your services?
Animal communication, the way that I kind of translate it to people, me as an animal communicator, I am able to tune into the animal's energetic frequency and then to relay the information. So some animals, and this is, it's funny because some animals speak to me in English. Some animals have accents. Others, it's really funny. My cat Jack has an Australian accent. I've done readings for cats where they have little British accents.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
It is very funny. When that first started coming through, the mentor that I was studying under, I'm like, so some of them have accents. She's like, yeah, of course. You know, their souls come from other places sometimes. So sometimes they speak to me in English. Sometimes, you know, in doing any type of healing work, I work with different spirit guides. So sometimes my spirit guides are translating it, and other times it's just a sense of knowing. And so I guess it depends. It depends on the animal. It depends on the human that's bringing the animal to me, how they communicate. But it's like, I kind of equate it with the old tuner band radios where you, like when you hit the right frequency, the message comes through.
Yes.
So it's just trying to find out like what frequency it is and then relaying the info.
It's really cool. I need to develop this. That's just super cool.
Right. And like, I mean, you guys are both animal lovers. So, and also you sent me pictures of your kitty. So I know that you guys have this ability. So some of the reasons why people seek out my services, sometimes it is, I think the most common two reasons, one, the animal is displaying symptoms of anxiety or depression, or abnormal behaviors that the human just can't figure out. So they come to me. And it's funny because then it oftentimes those sessions end up being a healing for the human as well. And they're like, wow, I brought my animal in here because he, you know, was peeing on the carpet. And turns out, you know, I have to do some mindfulness practice myself. So it ends up being a big group healing, which is lovely. And then the other reason that the other most common thing I found, healers, psychics, intuitives, those that either don't know they have these abilities or have started to open these abilities, the universe blesses us with a pet, a magical a familiar. It's something that we see a lot of, we see in a lot of movies. You know, Harry Potter, for example, they have their animals. In a lot of the Disney movies, the main character has an animal counterpart. So I help those humans open their psychic abilities with the assistance of their pet. It's they sought me out because they thought the pet had an issue and the pet was really saying, oh, thank you. Now you can finally open your psychic gifts, mama.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Have you ever found that a pet that passes in this lifetime comes back to be another pet to you in the same lifetime?
It is absolutely a real thing that happens. It has not happened to me personally yet. However, I have done sessions for clients, and I have a really good friend that it was a pet that she had lost during childhood that it is definitely the same soul that was incarnated that she now has. And sometimes they change bodies. So it was a cat, and then it came back as a dog.
Interesting. And another big one that my wife and I always talk about is that we are convinced that our pets that have passed on pick the next pet that's going to come into our lives.
Absolutely. Because animals, even though they, you know, when they show up to us, they have a physical body, they already walk between the worlds. So when they leave their physical body, they are definitely still around us. You know, that feeling if you've lost a pet and sometimes at night you'll feel the blankets move.
Yes.
Yeah. Where it's, you know, someone, you could feel a cat sleeping behind your knee the same way that your cat that had passed away did.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely still around us. So the spirit world is always working to help us. So I do feel like the cat that I had to put to sleep, my childhood cat, I do feel like she chose the current cats that I have. And pets, they come to us at different times in our life, depending on what we're going through, what we need to learn, what we need to heal, especially what we need to heal.
Yeah, absolutely. It is amazing.
Oh my gosh. Stephanie, what are some of the common themes or patterns you've come across with the pets that you've helped?
So there's a really interesting connection with humans that have a lot of, like, I refer to them as mystery illnesses, meaning Western medicine doesn't really know how to diagnose or treat them. So those humans often have an animal that is extremely sensitive, and the animal is helping the human to open up to energy and to open up to other types of holistic medicine. Because there was an interesting session that I had done where it was, you know, I started doing this out of my vet's office, a holistic vet. And, you know, the animal just, the vets couldn't find anything wrong with it. You know, it was a healthy animal, but it was just really nervous. And as soon as I met the human and the animal, I could see that the human was struggling with a lot of mystery illnesses. So the animal was super sensitive because the human is super sensitive. So that's one unique tie where it's like a mystery illness connection. The other one is, you know, again, like the anxiety, depression, it's opening the human up to finding alternative means of healing. And then my favorite type that I've encountered is the magical animal, like the spiritual familiar, and the human is opening up their psychic gifts. So that, like, that's, those are the ones I feel like I encounter the most.
Yeah.
You know, it like a, either kind of like a therapy animal, but it's also your magical animal that is teaching you to open up. And because our animals can sense things that we can't, or they can show us those things and be like, you need to look in this corner because there's a spirit standing there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny that you say that, because I have this running joke. They'll do that thing where they look over your shoulder.
Yep.
And then I finally will give in and turn around and look. And then as the cat, I say, ha ha, made you look.
So yes, so sometimes they do that because animals are mischievous. Like, sometimes they do just like to mess with us, because I mean, if I was a cat, I would do that too.
Yeah.
As a human, I do that.
Well, and the other thing is, I have a cat, Leo, who passed in November of 2015. And I swear that Leo is playing with the two that I have now, because
Oh yeah.
Sometimes there's just toys all over the place at night. It's like, what was going on here? And when Leo passed, I kept a few of his toys. Don't ask me why, I just did. But there's two little toy mice that are up where Leo's ashes are, and there's a picture of him. And every once in a while, those little mice are scattered. It just kind of wonder.
Yeah, I mean, of course they're all playing. I mean, cats, your cats do the whole from like in the middle of the night, from anywhere from like 3 to 5 a.m., just do the whole, I'm going to run from one end of the house as fast as I can to the other, meowing and acting like a nut.
Yeah, it's like elephants, yep.
Yeah, yeah, they're much more aware of things than we are. So it's interesting. So two of my three cats are what I refer to as magical cats. So my boy Gus, he helps me with his specialty is clearing spaces of unwanted energies. Mm. I call him my ghost hunting cat.
Aww.
Where people have hired us to clear the houses, do a house blessing. And I bring Gus because he can tune into the things that I miss with my, you know, I'm still in human form. But he can see the things that I can't. And so he's getting up there in age. I mean, he's 11. He's going to give me 6 more years at least. And 2 years ago we adopted a kitten, Jack. And because Gus asked for a little buddy, he showed me the image of a black cat with green eyes and I trusted it. Told me that this is the one that he's going to be training. So, you know, we have a magical kitten in training. So he's 2 now. Mm-hmm. He's still very sassy, but he is very magical. He has different gifts than Gus, and they do their energy thing. It's wonderful to watch and to feel. And yeah.
I love that.
We do.
It just makes me so happy.
Uh-huh. Right? Well, because it's, you know, they're wonderful beings that have thoughts, that have feelings, that yes. have souls, that are here for a purpose the same way that we are.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Has there ever been a time where you were really surprised at what an animal communicated?
Animals are always really excited. It's funny. Dogs instantly are like, oh my God, you can hear me. I'll tell you everything. Cats. If it's a paid session where someone is bringing their animal to me, the cat makes me work for it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, tell them how beautiful they are. Tell them how handsome they are. Spoil them with treats. I always bring treats and catnips when I'm doing a cat session. If I'm at someone's house and it's a friend, their cat is always just super excited to talk
to me.
That's
so funny.
But the most interesting, they open up that frequency and they tell me everything. So the most interesting kind of challenging session, It was a woman. She had a very difficult personality. I honestly, it was only a 30-minute session and I was kind of terrified of her. So, and she was bringing her cat in because the cat was urinating outside the litter box a lot. And, you know, we had ruled out, because I was doing this through the vet's office, they had ruled out any type of urinary tract infection. They had ruled out any type of physical health issue. And it's still funny. It still cracks me up. This was a few years ago. So the cat had just, it was a beautiful Persian cat, had a lot of anxiety. The cat was super excited to see me because I had very calming energy. And I was trying to relay to the woman that the cat is displaying signs of anxiety because I couldn't straight out tell the woman she's awful. I had to, or, you know, being like, you're kind of freaking me out. So, you know, this is where it's great to have done years of human work first. So I had to relate to her in a very polite way. You know, have you considered any type of mindfulness practice for yourself? And that made the human get very combative and the cat got very upset, but the cat was also confiding in me. And the cat was like, I'm doing more than peeing outside the litter box. Like, was telling me that it, you know, the cat rubs its butt on her pillow and like, but I could not relay that to the human, but the cat was like, I do other things. She just hasn't found out yet.
I love it.
Oh my goodness, that is so funny.
It was hysterical. And I was like, oh my goodness, I definitely cannot repeat that one to this human. Because it was the kind of human that was very offended that I even suggested, you know, have you meditated? Have you engaged in mindfulness practice? Because this is going to assist the cat. Human didn't want to hear it. And the cat's like, this is why I pee outside the litter box. This is why I do other things too.
Oh my goodness. I think that is so funny.
That was probably the most unique.
I think that is a great segue if you are ready to go into our little
yes.
things. I don't know which one you
yes.
want to talk to first.
Whose is Emmett?
That's mine. That's Carol's.
Yeah, we will do Emmett first. So do you have a specific question? Because usually the way I do it is, because like I can plug into their energy and then, I mean, because there's so much, I like to then kind of fine tune it with like, is there a specific area that you'd like me to tune into a little bit more?
Yeah. So just to give you a little background, he started licking his stomach and legs so much that it's almost like he's lost fur. Like it, you think the hair is falling out, but I think it's because he's grooming himself so much in these certain mm-hmm. areas. And it kind of happened gradually. So it wasn't something that I noticed right off the bat. And it's been... So it's probably happened over the course of a year, and I ended up bringing him to the vet this summer. They had put him on steroids like droppers in the morning and at night. And that kind of calmed it down. And then they changed his food. But then, you know, they lessened the steroid, you know, it went to like once a day, then every other. And then he was back to the exact same thing. So nothing is different. You know, nothing seems to be helping. And I just, you know, for the most part, he seems like himself. You know, he was always the less active of the two. So he's pretty mellow for the most part. But I don't know. It just makes me sad because I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's an anxiety thing.
Okay. So yeah, Emmett, he was the short-haired one, the one that you said. And I was like, oh, sassy Emmett.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So because he has a lot of really playful energy. He, like what I refer to as kind of like a fairy cat, like fairies are very playful. Like he's very, because I picked up on a very like mischievous, sassy vibe, but also that he is very physically sensitive. Is he just licking or is he also kind of like pulling out the hair?
A little bit of both. Like on his legs, sometimes it looks like he's kind of pulling at it.
Okay. Can you feel like any bumps or any abnormalities on the skin?
No, that I haven't noticed anything like that. And the vet didn't notice anything like that either.
Because your energy is very calming. So I don't feel like it's, you know, he's trying to tell us anything about you. But if because it's on like the belly and the legs, I would say that he like, because I could feel that his energy, like he's the kind of cat that, I mean, all cats walk between worlds, but he's like a very joyful cat that I feel like he has trouble feeling grounded.
Yeah.
In Earth realm, do you do any type of Reiki or energy work?
Yes, I do. I'm actually certified in Reiki.
Wonderful. Do you do any Reiki on him?
Well, it's funny that you ask because I did. I only tried it once. I wasn't consistent just to see. I mean, he was on my lap, so you know, of course, he's loving any like touch, you know. So I don't know if it had any effect.
Okay. Yeah. So like with that kind of thing with skin, same with humans too, that skin stuff, it's like being comfortable in your own skin. Like, I feel like he's around a lot of energy. So doing Reiki on animals and doing Reiki on cats is a fun thing. It's not the same as doing it on a human. Usually, so animals, again, they are very sensitive and they can be very overstimulated. So the way that you would do Reiki on the way that you would offer, because you very much have to offer it to an animal, because otherwise they're like, no, I don't want your Reiki. So it's, you know, it's first you kind of connect with the animal. You can do it verbally. You can do it telepathically, however it feels comfortable, like telepathically meaning like, you know, convey the thought, you know, and it's an energy. But while you're getting used to it, you can do it out loud and, you know, Emmett, may I offer you Reiki? And you kind of sit, make eye contact and turn on the flow of Reiki and let them come to you.
Okay.
Because and with them, it's different. Like when I'm doing any type of energy work on any animals, like I'll kind of follow them, but I don't force them to stay still. And I'm not like, you have to stay in my lap in order to receive this Reiki. Once the energy is flowing, they're going to kind of like waver in and out of your field. Some, like my cat Gus, when he wants Reiki, he will position himself in such a way that he will actually put his head into my hand and lie his back against my leg so that I'll put my hands on him. And when he's done, he walks away.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah. So I would suggest doing some type of like energy grounding Reiki, offer it to him regularly with the intention of getting to feel more comfortable in his skin.
Okay.
Because remember, everything is an energetic frequency. So it's when it manifests in a physical form that the energy has become more dense, but the foundation is still energy.
Right.
And yeah, because you've already addressed the food, and sometimes it could be that he is so sensitive that you might need to switch to just a, like, what are you feeding him now?
They had him on what's called a hydrolyzed diet. It's a prescription food, which he eats fine, but it's been a while and I just haven't really noticed anything change.
With a lot of the manufactured cat food, there's a lot of ingredients.
Yeah.
And so sensitive animals, like my cat Isabel is also very sensitive. She would get like the very similar, like over grooming. And we were able to finally like kind of tune in that she is sensitive to chicken. And so you might even want to like kind of step up his diet and consider putting him on a raw diet.
Okay.
Like you, there's many companies, there's Hair Today, Gone Tomorrow. You can get it in a lot of the pet food stores are doing it. And there's way less ingredients. So when my cat was having those issues, I also asked her, what do you want to eat? She told me, I want to eat rabbit. And I was like, okay, Miss Fancy Pants. And I did my research and actually checked in with a vet and was like, well, rabbit is actually ideal for her where she is in her health right now. And it was just straight rabbit. And they do the ground organs and bone in it. So they're getting all their nutrients because remember, cats are carnivores.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So you can, and like they're getting all their protein, they're getting all their nutrients, their calcium from the ground raw meat. Mm-hmm. So that's an option too. So I would say like, you know, purifying the diet further and then doing regular energy work on him. And with cats, like 5 minutes can be ample. You know, some humans need 2 hours. Animals, they're like, 5 minutes, done. And they'll walk away when they're done.
Okay. Well, I think it's funny. You kind of hit on that. He's just very sweet. He brings toys. You know, he's the one who brings presents always. Petey doesn't. Petey's very sweet in other ways. But yeah, Emmett's the gift giver. But when you're talking about rabbits, it's actually kind of funny because all summer outside, we had rabbits in the backyard and he was, you know, on that. So
he was telling you. Yeah, and he's super, like I could tell by the look in his eyes that he just loves you so much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, see, just, I can feel it. You, Deb and I talk about this. Sometimes they look at you, and I know you know this, Stephanie, and you could feel the love emanating out of their eyes. It's just so cute and so special.
It is. And they're just like, I just love you. I just want to watch you, whatever you're doing.
That's him.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so you could try, like I said, and like many, many of the mainstream pet stores and a lot of the, you know, smaller independent ones, they're carrying the raw diet. So you can try a variety,
sure.
but with him, like, you know, start reading the packages of like where there's less ingredients. Cause some of the, like the manufactured raw, like they'll add some other things in. It's all healthy, but you know, it's a lot of the prescription diets. It's the same with humans too, that it's like, you know, we can take a prescription or we can eat something and it's going to cause inflammation because we're sensitive to
that
it.
That makes so much sense. So before you move to Deb, is there anything Emmett would like me to do more of or less of?
Oh, play. And what is he showing me? He loves like head rubbies and chin scratches.
He does. He's a big chin scratcher.
Yeah, he's just showing me his head. He's just like, just do more of you, Mama. I love you.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just a snuggle button. He's like, yay.
He
really likes food, so he's excited to try different types of food.
He does. He really does. He's like 2 pounds heavier than Petey, and I just don't understand how.
Oh, food, yeah. Well, and also because it's same with humans too, that sometimes if we're like overeating, we're not getting the appropriate nutrients.
Right.
So same with cats. If they're overeating, it might be because he's not getting the appropriate nutrients. And the fact that, you know, he was kind of giving you that confirmation of like rabbit.
Yeah.
Might try that.
Yeah.
Cause it's because it's more of a red meat. It's very high in iron, but that's what did the trick when I did it with my Isabel, that it was just purifying her diet. And then she didn't have any skin inflammation anymore.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yay. That's awesome.
Yay.
All right. Now, Mr. Herbie.
Oh my gosh. Those pictures were so cute. The one with him sitting. Is he a Maine Coon?
No. I don't think so. He might have a little bit in him, but.
Okay.
But we've had Maine Coons, and so a little bit different.
Okay. Yeah. So do you have a specific question or something you'd like a little bit more insight into?
Yeah. It's sort of a two-part thing. His litter mate we lost a few years ago because he had a severe spine issue, and we never determined if it was cancer or there was something else, but he had been in a lot of pain before we were even aware of it, and that hurt me knowing that he had been in so much pain and we didn't know. And I know cats go to great lengths to hide it, so I guess that is what leads to the question. Is he feeling okay? And then the second part of that question is, recently the vet had found a spot on his eye that could either be a spot on his eye or it can be eye cancer. So he's been there's been some observation at Tufts every 3 months. They basically photograph it and compare it to the one 3 months ago and see if it's changed. And if it hasn't changed, then we wait another 3 months and we do it again. And I just didn't know if he had any insight into perhaps what's going on there. Or, you know, or just in general, is he comfortable? Is he okay?
I could pick up on a lot of, does he seem anxious to you? Because I could feel that he was a little bit sad. I could pick up on there was some discomfort in his body, but discomfort, not excruciating pain.
Okay.
And I feel like a lot of that too, I feel like he's picking up on your concern.
Okay.
Because when people send me pictures, I look at the eyes, and then I also keep in mind like who is taking the picture and who is the cat looking at. So he picks up on your concern. And so the thing with animals is they're not as attached to their physical bodies in the same way that, you know, that we are, or the way that we're attached to them.
Right.
So like they don't want us to know when they're in excruciating discomfort. Like I'm not getting that he's in excruciating pain. I do feel like there is some pressure. Is it his left eye?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm touching my own face and I'm kind of tuning into his energy. Oh, there's like a little bit of pressure. I don't get that. I don't feel like it's like horrible pain. I'm not really getting much info on cancer.
Okay.
I feel like it's an energy imbalance, but it was interesting though, because like I definitely was picking up on a lot of energy from the eyes. So he is playing with or seeing something in spirit. And I do also feel like he is helping you to open. Do you do mediumship, or do you do mediumship that you're aware of?
I don't know as I've ever called it mediumship, but I do talk to people that aren't here.
Okay.
in my head. So like, I never know if it's really real or not. Am I making it up or is it real? Like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So this is where everybody has their different gifts and their different abilities. And the way that one person connects with spirit is going to be completely different than the way that someone else does. So I feel like this is one of those kind of situations where he has these, you know, imbalances, because he's really trying to get you to open up your gifts. And the more you open up your sight, it will help alleviate some of the pressure he's experiencing. And like the way that they feel pain, they have very different like lymphatic systems, very different nervous systems. They have like higher amounts of endorphins, so they don't feel pain the same way that we do. And so in terms of the way that you connect, you're definitely not making it up, because he's telling me you're definitely not making it up, because I could see in his eyes that he's seeing stuff that he's trying to be like, Mama, you need to open your eyes to this.
Okay.
Yeah. And to trust it, because most of us, when I first started talking to animals, I'm like, okay, they're, you know, like when I told my vet that I asked Isabel what she wanted to eat and she said rabbit, I thought the vet was going to call the men in white coats to take me. So sometimes you just have to trust and know that Herbie's going to help you with this. Mm-hmm. And again, also, do you also do any type of Reiki or energy work?
I do not.
Okay. I think it's time to start.
Okay.
And also like, so he will help you, like, so put your hands on Herbie and ask him what hurts. And mm-hmm. like he, this is one, I feel like it's one of those things where you helping him feel more comfortable and being aware of your own moods, thoughts, and emotions, you're both going to help each other.
Okay.
It's one of those, he is connected with the kitty that passed away, and he does have connection, and he's trying to introduce you to the spirit world. Like he's acting as a gateway between worlds for you.
Okay. I've actually felt that.
Yeah. Because I could actually feel that he is seeing these things, and the energy is like channeling through his body, and he's trying to relay it to you. And so when you make eye contact with him, like I encourage anyone to do this with their pets at all, like make eye contact and ask them, what do you have to tell me, and see how it comes in and trust the process that if you hear it in English words, or if you just get a knowing of like, oh, he wants me to like rub his, he's showing me that he enjoys when you rub the spot, like the base of the spine where the tail meets the back. He really likes that.
Yep, he does.
Yeah, he was really showing me that. But like, he is going to help you open your abilities. And when it comes to like animals passing away, or when we, if the, you know, we don't find out that they had some type of cancer or an illness, you know, we as humans will feel really guilty. But the animals, to them, you know, when they're in the wild, and this is the part that like, this is where I know it's coming from spirit, because my human self is like, no, this is awful. like they, it's to them in nature, it like shedding their physical body and going back to spirit is just one of the most natural, beautiful processes that there is. Right. But we, the human with our egos and our human brains that have been conditioned by society, we want to hold on to them. And a lot of animals, they get really upset. Like I had a friend that she had, I think her cat lived, she kept the cat alive until it was 18. But it was getting like multiple injections a day. It had had lots of surgeries, and the cat was just ready to leave its form and be returned back to source. So animals don't like excessive fuss. I mean, if it's like a simple surgery that, you know, something can be removed, they're fine with it. But when it comes to the complicated health issues, they don't want us to know, because they're just leaving their physical form. Does that help? Does that answer?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's going to be so comforting to a lot of our listeners, just to know that they're totally okay with transitioning.
Yes, they are. And like, again, this is, you know, this is where my human self is like, no. But my cat Gus and I have an agreement, because he has had a lot of health issues. Like, he's very stable now. And, you know, in the journey of healing, his health issues have helped me with my human body stuff. But we have an agreement that he's like, you know, if there's something deeper, I don't want you to fuss. I don't want thousands of dollars worth of surgery. To them, they already exist between worlds, and they show up in physical form to, like, because they're furry and they're squishy and they're cuddly. But to them, leaving the physical form and transitioning to the afterlife is the most natural thing. They feel bad that they have to leave us. It's harder for them when we're like, you know, pumping them full of meds and like, you know, again, the really uncomfortable exploratory surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and like, because a lot of times, because this is another thing that like, as I've been doing more communication sessions with animals and spirit, you know, the human will feel really guilty that they didn't, you know, catch a heart condition earlier. And the animals are like, no, I didn't want you to know, because I just loved you so much.
Yeah. Oh, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This has been so amazing. And you know what? It's funny, because I think all of this has been fascinating, but what really got me was the accents. And I'm thinking, Petey and Emmett came from Tennessee. I wonder if they have Southern accents.
And go with it. Well, it's because it's you do a little bit of like a meditative exercise, bring yourself to like a place of Zen, and then connect with your kitty and like see what comes through. I mean, it's crazy. Like, well, because sometimes like Gus talks to me in a British accent, because my cats have had many lifetimes. Sometimes it's a British accent. He's a little boy. And then sometimes, you know, Jack has like an Australian accent, but then Jack also came from Puerto Rico. So sometimes I call him Gato Loco. So like, be open to it. And sometimes they don't speak in English, and sometimes they just communicate through like feelings, emotions. A lot of times they don't have running thoughts the same way that we do sometimes. So that's why like I only do the animal communication sessions for like if there's a specific question or something you want me to look more into. Because when people are like, oh, just tell me what they want. I'm like, most animals that are happy, they're just in a state of bliss.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's great. And I think so many of the things you talked about will really help our listeners connect, getting to that place, going into a meditative state. Those are some good tips to connect with them, looking in them in the eye and asking them. So yeah, so this has been so great. So how can people find you, Stephanie?
So I am going to be, I'm in the process right now of moving my practice, which is called Karmic Touch Healing Arts. I am moving my practice and operating out of Dragonflies and Amber, which is in Hopedale, Massachusetts. My website is karmictouchhealingarts.com, karmic touchhealing, Healing Touch. Did I do it right? Karmic Touch Healing Arts.com. You guys got it. I'm already like in animal world.
We'll put it in the show notes so people can grab it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So check my website. Feel free to email me. Email is karmictouchhealingarts@gmail.com. And I work on animals and humans and happy to help people open their abilities.
Oh, awesome.
That's so exciting. Thank you for sharing yourself with us today.
You are so very welcome. This was an honor. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, both so much.
So everybody listening, as always, you can hear our show on our website, thedivinebreadcrumb.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thanks again for listening. Please get in touch. Leave us a review. Send us an email. Definitely get in touch with Stephanie. Go check out her website. There's just so much cool stuff. So check it out. And Stephanie, thank you again. Hope to talk to you sometime soon.
Yes, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.